Blog Talk
Thank you very
Radio.
Much, and welcome to the Chuck Moore Speaks daily segment here at Blog Talk Radio. So with the nuclear treaty being entered into, hopefully not, but being debated in Congress, by which the United States will, I would suggest, offer a green light to Iran, the Mullah government, to build a nuclear bomb. And we should remember that Iran, being an ancient society, they take a long lens view on these things. They may wait a few years, but so far in this entire nuclear debate going back to 2002, they've violated every promise they've made, and they've continued building a massive nuclear infrastructure without barely a pause, if any. And yet Obama and his administration and John Kerry and their allies, but mostly the Obama people, are moving at breakneck speed to get a treaty done which would lift the sanctions on Iran, offering them many, many billions of dollars, a huge injection into their economy, world acceptance as if this is somehow a good idea, and essentially a pass on nuclear development, no matter how they slice it. Inspections are done 30 days after they're notified. They get to supply the samples. I mean, it's all this little language, no release of hostages. And quite clearly, Iran intends, by any definition, to build nuclear bombs and has basically said that they intend to use them to annihilate the West. That's their long-term goal. I don't think it's controversial to say that. So what would Ronald Reagan have done? I think that we could take a look at how Ronald Reagan led the effort to successfully collapse the Soviet Union to understand what he would have done. Nobody thought the Soviet Union was going anywhere when Reagan first became president. People who like to rewrite history claim otherwise. But the fact of the matter is that the collapse of the Soviet Union was nothing short of miraculous. And it was done without firing a shot. Propaganda coming out of the Obama administration that if we don't sign this treaty, there's going to be war, is the worst kind of jingoistic fear-mongering that one can possibly imagine. The fact is that we can engage in a vigorous form of containment against Iran, just like Reagan did against the Soviet Russians. Firstly, we could tighten the economic screws on Iran. There should be no business contracts with Iran, no oil exports allowed from Iran. Continue to work with other nations to contain Iran and isolate Iran whenever possible. It's certainly not always possible. I mean, there's obviously the wild card of China and Russia, but there is plenty that the United States can do to further tighten these sanctions on Iran without necessitating a resort to arms. But additionally, and I would actually argue more importantly, the United States can do something that Reagan did that there is absolutely no will to do today, no will either amongst Democrats or Republicans, I'll point out, except for a few, like maybe Huckabee. And that is to psychologically identify the nature of the Iranian regime and society and contrast that with our American and Western democratic society. Our society is superior. Their society is inferior. And we need to describe why. Ronald Reagan did this in 1983, when he delivered a speech referring to the Soviet Union as the evil empire. There were howls of rage from the left, but the fact of the matter is that Reagan held up the Soviet Union and he said, your system is evil. Our system is better. Not because Americans are any better than anyone else's people, not out of a chauvinistic sense, but simply because we in this country, for very interesting reasons, have embraced certain universal principles, principles that are available to all people, principles that have benefited all peoples to the degree that they've embraced them. And that those principles are limited government, that sovereignty comes from God, not from the state, that institutions of freedom include private ownership of the means of production, of property, that we have a separate judiciary, we've got a balance of power, we've got democratic ideas, democratic principles, and democratic institutions, and that these are better than what the Soviets have, and that the results manifest themselves. And I think that by doing that, he struck a bigger blow, almost, or at least an equal blow, against Russia, as we did with the sanctions, which Reagan tightened, by the way, very quietly. And the result was that Russia, and also that we're a Christian nation, Reagan made no bones about that. He went to Moscow and he publicly prayed in churches. That sent a message to the atheistic Soviet communists. And the people overthrew it without firing a shot. They just simply rose up. I mean, the placement of a McDonald's in Moscow was a revolutionary act. People waited in line for hours to get something that most Americans just take for granted. These things led to the fall of the Soviet Union, as much as did the economic sanctions, and those same things could lead to a fall of the Mueller regime. We need to identify the fact that they evil, world-conquering ideology, and that it is wrong. We need to not kind of be dainty and pussyfoot around with regard to the evil aspect, or at least the evil side of Islam, which is what dominates Iran. That doesn't mean that we cannot be friendly with and should be friendly with moderate Muslims and moderate Muslim nations like Turkey and Jordan and some of the Gulf states, nations that are willing to forswear the aspect of Islam that calls for slaughtering Christians and conquering the world and having a totalitarian society under Sharia law. We need to befriend those people as long as they're willing to, frankly, take a more westernized, more Christianized, more Americanized view of their religion. Those who insist on practicing the more fundamental faith of Islam, which does call for the slaughter of the infidel, and they do it. Look at ISIS. Look at Boko Haram. And those who call for total Sharia law, very much like the communists did in their countries under the guise of scientific socialism, those who call for jihad against the non-submitting world, very much like the communists did with their calls for, quote, revolution until the struggle was over, world conquest, in other words, they have to be met on the field of battle, if necessary, but preferably on the field of ideas. We have to stand up and identify Iran for what it is, the philosophy that has embraced that country through their government. We have to support people in Iran who want to overthrow that system. And we need to do so openly, unabashedly, courageously, or else we're going to be doomed to fall under the influence, ultimately, of that same evil, just like we could have fallen under the influence of communism if Americans had not stood up, starting with Harry Truman, I'd point out, and stood up to the degree that we did understand that our way of life was superior to left-wing communism and Nazism. We understood this. Franklin Roosevelt understood the evils of Nazism, and he identified them clearly and articulately, and he compared it with our superior system, and that had a lot to do with the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. Ulysses S. Grant identified the evil nature of the Southern secession and slavery, calling for unconditional surrender, and a cause that actually Lincoln was influenced by and took up. And that led to the defeat of the secession and the end of slavery, as much as did the battles in the field. We need to have our leaders do the same today. We need to have them stand up and identify the nature of this evil, say they are not going to play ball with it, they're going to isolate it, and also to, in a more practical sense, apply the necessary economic sanctions to isolate it, to surround it, to contain it, and ultimately to defeat it. So that's not going to happen with the Obama administration, because the Obama administration sympathizes with Iran. That's quite clear. They at least are fuzzy about their belief in the American way of life and in the superiority of our system. I heard Obama referred to as a neocolonialist by Dinesh D'Souza in his brilliant book, America, that basically he believes that a third world country like Iran ought to have parity with the United States, if for no other reason than that they don't have it. Not because they earned it, not because they did anything, but just because they want it. And what's worse, that somehow Iran not being as advanced as the United States is because of us. It's our fault. We exploited them. This gets into the Marxist theory of exploitation. It's a conspiracy theory that needs to be exposed and debunked. We are who we are, not because we exploited anybody, but because we're free to think and create and imagine and be who we are, because we have a government that allows for enough individual freedom that people can thus develop new ideas and new creations and new artwork and new science and new everything to improve human life and to benefit from that improvement as they go. These aren't unique to us. These are universal ideas. The Iranian people, the people of the world, yearn to have an American approach. That's why communism collapsed in 1990. Because the Russian people were sick and tired of the lies and the artificial nature of this imperialistic edifice that not only sought to subject them to privation of freedom, but convince them or try to promote the idea that this was good for the world, that they could change human nature. Change human nature into what? That wasn't quite laid out or articulated, even if it was a good idea to change human nature, which it's not, because we are not perfect beings. We are imperfect, under God, created in the image of God. So, again, I don't think that, I only hope that Congress can hold out. There's only another maybe year and a half, less than a year and a half left of this very dangerous administration that is working at breakneck speed to give a green light to the Iranians to have a nuclear bomb for reasons that are not clear, for the benefit of the United States as not articulated. I hope we can hold out, and I hope we can ask our Congress to hold out, our Democratic and Republican candidates for president to reject this idea, and to then tell Iran that if they want to live in peace with us, that's fine. But if they're going to build weapons of aggression like nuclear weapons, if they're going to build a nuclear infrastructure in a country that has almost more oil than most countries in the world and that's a wealthy country, we're not going to trust them. We are not going to trust them because of their ideology of world conquest or jihad, and we're not going to sit back and let them do it. We're going to apply sanctions. We're going to tighten the screws on them. We're going to identify them psychologically and theologically and politically and philosophically for what they are, and we're going to stand firm. And if that doesn't work, and if they continue to build nuclear weapons, we're going to have to ultimately maybe take military action. And if we do, God willing, it will be swift and thorough, because that way all the peoples of the region, both Iranian and otherwise, are going to be a lot better off. Anyway, thank you for listening, everyone. My books are available at Amazon or Amazon Kindle. You just go there, put my name in the server, Chuck Morse, M-O-R-S-E, and up they come. Have a nice day, everybody.